Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai, Parshas Vayishlach. Rabbeinu B'chai begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chavav and Chavzayim. It says, Maya Nirpas, U'makor Moshchas, Tzadik Matlif Neirasha. A spring that is trampled, and a fountain that is destroyed, so is a Tzadik that is has to subjugate himself in front of the Rasha, you know, knock himself down in front of the Rasha. A chol dvash harbos lo tov. Simple reading of that is, isn't eating honey good? Becheker kavodam kavod, and investigating into their honor is honor. What does that mean? So Rabbeinu B'chai explains that Shlomo Melech is telling us here that when a tzaddik has to lower himself and be machnia, subjugate himself to a rasha, it's like a fountain that is trampled on, and that is what happens when you trample on a fountain or something and you make it muddied. So it's muddied temporarily, and then water keeps coming and washes away. It stops being muddied once people stop trampling on it. In other words, it's temporary. So it's saying when a tzaddik is trampled on by people and makes their water muddy, it's only temporary, and the tzaddik will eventually come back. So when it's only a temporary thing when a tzaddik is knocked down. And then, once we're talking about how great the tzaddikim are, the next pasuk is telling you that better than eating honey is to investigate the honor of tzaddikim. So, you know, a lot of times we have that things, comparing things. It's even better than honey, right? Mesuka midvash. So even better than honey is looking into the goodness of tzaddikim. Meaning that the pasuk is telling you that there's a chiyuv to look for the good in tzaddikim and to tell how great they are. That's what this pasuk is telling you. Cheker kvodim kavod. Cheker means to investigate, to try to find out the good about Yirei Hashem, about tzaddikim, and to tell them. As the pasuk says, "Ves Yirei Hashem Yechabed," in the list of good people, you know, the good midos. That's what it says. Yirei Hashem Yechabed. Elsewhere, it's in Tehillim, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Talad. Who is going to Miyagor Be'alacha? Who stays in the tent of Hashem? Yishkon Behar Kachacha. So in the list there is Yirei Hashem Yechabed. Those who honor, those who fear Hashem, or in awe of Hashem. So it's a big maila to find out the good in tzaddikim, and he brings from the Medrash, it's from a Gemara, that Yehoshaphat, who was the king of Yehuda, when he saw Talmud Chacham, he would stand up from his chair, and he would hug him, and kiss him, and call him Rabbi Yomori, and that's even a king. So you see the great mitzvah to honor, and to say the good of Talmidei Chachamim. Anyway, what does this have to do with Parshas Vayishlach? Obviously, that Indian, as he brings from the Medrash, that the Medrash says that this pasuk of Mayan Nirpas Makor Mashchas Tzadik Matlif Neirasha is specifically talking about Yaakov, that Yaakov had to subject be machni himself, lower himself to Esav, but it was only a temporary thing. In the end, he'll be above him. But that starts off with the mincha that Yaakov sent to Esav, and he had to lower himself in that way. So the parasha begins with that present that Yaakov sent to Esav. So first he sent Malachim to Esav to let him know about this. Not necessarily let him know about the mincha, but to let him know that he's coming, Yaakov's coming. And he says that I'm coming to your area. Vayihili shor v'chamor v'tzon. V'ebed v'shivcha. So he tells him, I'm doing good. I got all this stuff, shor, chamor, v'tzon, ebed v'shivcha. So Rabbeinu B'chai asks, why does he mention shor and chamor first? The Torah always puts tzon first. Tzon is either sheep or goats. So why does the Torah always says sheep or goats first, because that's the most chashuv thing from all the animals. And you'll find his example is, it says, V'Avram, Ela Avram, Hitiv, Ba'Avara, Vahili, Lo, Tzon, V'Akar. Tzon always comes before Bakar, sheep is always better. So why here does he tell Esav that I have Shor V'Chamor, Tzon V'Eved? Why is Tzon not at the beginning? So Rabbeinu B'chai says, because he didn't want to remind him about the tzon. Because the goats that he brought, the way he got the bechora was through tzon. So he didn't want to mention that. So he started off the shor v'chamor. So, you know, not to talk straight up about the tzon, because that's how he ended up getting the Bechorah. Rivka told him, Lech na el tzon, bring that to your father, so he didn't mention tzon. Okay. On the other hand, the Medrash says the opposite. He brings, Medrash Tanchuma says, in other words, his pshat is that he's trying to not antagonize him. Whereas the Medrash here says that it was a remez, a little bit the opposite. Pehilo shor v'chamor, shor is a remez to Yosef. And he was trying to tell him, Yosef's around. And if you remember, that once Yosef was born, Yaakov wasn't afraid of Esav so much, because Yosef is supposed to be the one that destroys Esav, as the Pasuk says, V'ya b'is Yaakov eish, v'is Yosef l'hava, b'is Esav l'kash. That b'is Yaakov is fire, b'is Yosef is flame, and b'is Esav is straw. And so they're going to destroy them. Yosef is the one who destroys Esav. So once Yosef is born, he's not afraid of Esav. So that's when you want to let him know, oh, by the way, I got a shore. To let him know, Yosef's around, don't mess. Okay, so it's slightly different looks on what he was trying to tell him. And then we have V'gam holech likroscha. So the malachim come back and say, I want you to know Esav's not happy with you, and he's coming with 400 men. He's coming to you. V'gam holech likroscha. What's V'gam holech likroscha? What's the extra V'gam? Ben Abachai says V'gam comes to include Saro Shel Esav. So Esav's coming for you, and his malach is coming for you. Which, by the way, he says, you know, there's a discussion if the malachim that Yaakov sent were actual malachim or they were messengers. So he says this proves that they were malachim, because who else would have known that Saro Shel Esav is coming? So it must have been Yaakov sent actual angels, and they came back and said, Saro Shel Esav is coming for you, not just Esav. And there are 400 men emo. Now, this time, Rabbeinu Bechai says something very interesting. It says, V'arba meos ish emo with him. He says, emo is a lashon you find by Rishoyim. Ito is what you find by tzaddikim. Like it says, by Yosef, by Asher Hashem Ito. So the word Ito is used when you're referring to a tzaddik. And when you're referring to a Rasha, you say Imo. So there must be more to it than that. There seems to be a lot of psukim that don't fit with that. So one example is Moshe, when Hashem appeared before him, it says Vayis Yatzev Imo over there, and there was talking about Moshe and Hashem. It doesn't sound like it's nobody's right. Moshe's not in Russia. Vayis Yatzev Imo. By you know, when he got the Yud Gimel Midos. And Moshe took Atzmos Yosef Imo. Nobody's a Rasha there. When Yosef took Menashe and Ephraim to go get a bracha from Yosef, it says, Veikach Eshnei Banav Imo. So I don't know what the pshat is, and there must be an explanation for all these places. I'm just pointing it out. Rabbeinu Bechai says Imo is used by Rishayim, Ito is used by Tzadikim. So I must, you know, there must be more details here. I'm just pointing out some other psukim don't seem like that. Okay. So Yaakov is afraid, and he splits up his camp, and he says, "Vaya machana hanisha lefleita." That if even a face of attacks one camp will remain. And he brings the famous medrash that Hashem brings tzaros on Klai Yisrael from Esav in spaces. They don't all come at once. If one king comes and kicks the Jews out, somebody else takes him in. Or, you know, it doesn't all come at once. There's always another place to go, another camp that remains. Okay, then he davens and says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avi Yitzchak, Hashem. So you would think Hashem comes first, and then Elokei Avi Avraham, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. Like we say in davening, right? First say Hashem, and then you say the Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. Here it says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avi Yitzchak, Hashem. Ho Mari, right? So Hashem comes last. Why is that? So he says, because Hashem there is Midas HaRachamim, so Avram is Midas HaChesed, Yitzchak is Midas HaDin, and Hashem is Midas HaRachamim, and that's similar to what we daven, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, sounds like that's also Chesed, Rachamim, and Din. Okay, just pointing that out, because that's part of our davening, that okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, sounds like it is Chesed, Rachamim, and Din. Okay, next. It says, Kantoti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes. Yaakov says, I have become small. So Rabbeinu Bachai here gives us a shmooze on how to daven properly. Rabbeinu Bachai says that a person, when they come to daven, they need to think about how small they are. Every time you daven Shemona Esrei, you come to daven before Hashem, you have to think about how small you are, your own chisronos, your things you lack in, and the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the godless Adono, the greatness of Hashem. And then you think about the tons of chesed Hashem has done for you always. And after you think about all that, then you can ask for what you want to ask. That's part of why we have Shevach at the beginning of Shemona Esrei. In other words, that's part of it. You have to be thinking how small you are, how great Hashem is, how much chesed He's done for you. And then you're in the right mind, proper state to ask Hashem for what you need. So that's why Yaakov says, Kantonti mikol ha-chesedim mikol ha-emes. Okay. And then the ki b'makli, he says, he's remembering the bad times. So Rabbeinu Bachai also says, this is a mussar of art, that a person should always remember, when you're in the good times, remember the bad times. In other words, when things are going well for you, at that time, at some point, you should make time to think to yourself how you're not in the bad times anymore, and how things used to be rough, and the Ribbono Shel Olam kept you and protected you. And he quotes the pasuk in Koheles that says that b'yom tov heye b'tov b'yom ra'a re'ei. Then it sounds like the words mean, in a good day, be good, and in a bad day, see. So the Rebbeinu Bachai is learning it. This is all one situation. On a good day, when things are good, in other words, so you heye b'tov, you'll be good, and b'yom ra'a re'ei, and look at the bad days. In other words, when you're in a good day, remember to think about the bad days, when things are bad, and give thanks to Hashem. Okay, and he also says when Yaakov davened and said, "Hatzileni nam yad achim yad Esav, Hashem, please save me from Esav, from my brother." From Esav, he was davening two tefillas. One, save me from my brother, in the present tense, the guy who is my brother here. And miyad Esav means for all generations, save all my children from Esav, the future of Esav. Okay, now my absolute favorite Rabbeinu Bachai. I hope you're listening. This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. In the whole Torah, this is, I don't know if you have a letter of favorites. This is the one that I love the best. It just sounds the most interesting. It says that Yaakov sent a mincha to Esav, min haba b'yado, from what came to his hand. Okay, so one explanation the Rabbeinu Bachai brings is that he brought what was his, what wasn't stolen. Another pshat he brings, says min haba b'yado, it wasn't stolen. Another pshat he brings is that he sent precious stones as a gift to Esav. That's min haba b'yado, what came in his hand. It was margolios tovos. Rashi says the same pshat. And then he says an amazing pshat. I have to give you a little background for this. There is a thing called the hunting falcon. It's been in the news recently. It's been around for thousands of years. It's in the news recently because some lady went out to Outer Mongolia from America to be part of some hunting falcon group or whatever. I don't know, something like that. You could find it on the web. Anyway, hunting falcons are these massive birds. You put them on your arm. You know, they perch on your arm. You stand there. They're trained. They go fly off. And they fly off. They catch a fox or some huge for a bird. Come back with a fox or some small mammal. They hunt for you. Hunt small things like that, small game. It's called the hunting falcon. So they perch on your arm. They go, they get the fox, they come back. So that's what Rabbeinu Bachai says, is Vayikach min haba b'yado, hunting falcons, because they perch on your arm. Let me tell you why this is amazing. There's a famous story with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, where Rav Chaim once needed a minion. I may get this story a little off, but this is the way I recall it. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik needed a minion for mincha. It's a good joke. for this week's parsha, it's a good joke. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik needed a minion for mincha, and he was asking around, you know, could he daven mincha? You know, they're trying to get a minion. So there was apparently this guy who was, I guess, not so religious, and they happened to ask him, can you join us for mincha? And he said something really nasty to Rav Chaim, like, you know, bug off or whatever, something nasty. So he told the people around him that it says in Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov sent sheep and cattle to Esav. And he asked the kasha, Esav was a hunter. What in the world does he need with sheep? What does a hunter need with sheep? Why did Yaakov send sheep and cattle and oxes? Why didn't he send them hunting dogs? That would have been much more useful. Send him some dogs he could have used in his hunting. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, you see from here that for you don't use dogs for mincha. For a mincha. Okay, you get it. Anyway, but what about he's calling the guy a dog. What about the question, though? Why did Yaakov not send any hunting animals? Corner of Bachai, he did. That's exactly what he sent. Vayikach min haba biyado means hunting falcons, because they perch on your arm. And in case you think I made that up, you look it up yourself. He writes it in English. English! Of hanikra fe lamed kuf vav nun. Of hanikra falcon. Hunting falcons. That's what it means. Min haba biyado means hunting falcons. Okay, that's my favorite bin b'chay. I'm sorry, I had to be my rich a little bit. Okay, next. When it comes to the actual gift he sends, it says he actually sent Ezim first. Which is sounds like at first glance a stira, what he said before. In other words, he said when he was sending regards to Esav through the Malachim, he said, let him know I got a Shor and a Chamor. He didn't mention Tzon first because he didn't want to mention Tzon and bring up that he stole the Bechorah or whatever. He got the Bechorah through what Esav felt was stealing through the sheep. And here, first thing he sends is the sheep or the goats. So, Rabbeinu Bechai says, that's different. When he sent the messengers, he was just sending a message, and there he didn't want to antagonize him. But here he had davened already. Since he had davened to Hashem to save him, and then he felt more confident, and he sent the sheep first. And not only that, just the opposite. He was trying to antagonize him and say, look, I got the brachos, buddy. Don't mess with me. I'm supposed to be on top. He's actually being antagonistic by sending them first, which is interesting. Or just saying, you know, I got the brachos. Don't try to conquer me. I win. Okay. Then we have Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. The famous, everybody knows that story, Yaakov went back to get his Pachim Ketanim. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains, what does that mean? He went back to get Pachim Ketanim. So I think we said, you know, we all know because a tzaddik is makpid even on a little bit of mammon. So the Rabbeinu Bechai explains on the Derech Pashup Shadis, he went back to get Pachim Ketanim because he needed it for his kids, because he had little kids, and if they didn't drink, they might be in danger. So that's why he put himself in danger to go back to get Pachim Ketanim. And according to this, Pachim Ketanim means Pachim Shel Ketanim, as in little kids' drinking cups. So he needed it, their baby bottles, I don't know, whatever. He needed it to, so that his, that was baby bottles, but whatever. He needed his cups to, so his kids would not be in danger. That's why he put himself in danger. Okay. Now we have Yaakov's name change. So Yaakov starts off being Yaakov, it's changed to Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains that the shame of Yaakov is when Klal Yisrael is like the lower name of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael aren't doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Or we're talking about the shiflus of Klal Yisrael, or bed, whatever, so we call them Yaakov. And Klal Yisrael is doing what they're supposed to be doing, on their and they're on their high level, then they're called Yisrael. Right, that's the higher level. When Klal Yisrael called by that name, that's when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the best example of this, he brings a pasuk in by Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. So there, that's in Malachim Aleph. It's in Perek Yud Ches pasuk Lamed Aleph. It says, "Vayikach Eliyahu Shtei Mesrei Avonim." So Eliyahu is making a mizbeach after the Nevi'ei Habal. Remember, the Nevi'ei Habal were trying to make their mizbeach, and it didn't work. And then Eliyahu said, "Okay, I'm going to bring a carbon. I'm going to see Hashem who Elokim." He brings it, starts him some mizbeach. He uses 12 stones. The pasuk continues, "Kimispar shivtei bnei Yaakov, asher haya dvar Hashem elav Yisrael yi Hashemecha." Very strange pasuk. Eliyahu Anavi builds the mizbeach on Har HaKarmel. Shnei mesrei avonim kimispar shivtei bnei Yaakov, 12 stones like the shvatim of the sons of Yaakov. Asher hayad var Hashem elav, that Hashem said to him, Yisrael yin shemecha, you should be called Yisrael. What in the world is that supposed to mean? That part with Hashem said you're supposed to be Yisrael. He says that's exactly the point. They were at the time Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Jews. So they were. That's why he says he got 12 stones that were shivtei bnei Yaakov, because they were on a low level, then they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and he's trying to give them Musar. Then Hashem said to them, Yisrael Yishemecha, you're supposed to be on a high level. supposed to be tzaddikim. That's the point. Yaakov is when they're not good, you know, when they're not as holy in Yisrael as when they are doing the right things. Then they become, when they're Yisrael, so then they're a high level, they're Kisarisa in Elohim, like it says, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem. They can reach high levels. Okay. Anyway, then Esav says, after they become friends, Esav says, I'll go with you. Yaakov says, don't tell me any favors. I'll just walk slow. You go ahead. Ad asher avo aladoni seira. Until I catch up with you in Seir. So Yaakov never had any intention of catching up with him in Seir. So Yaakov lied. So that's what Chazal tell us, that eventually Lasid Lavo, in time of Mashiach, then he'll go to Seir to destroy him. So Rabbi Abchai just points out that the Sofei Tevos of Avo El Adoni Seira spells Eliyah, like Eliyah Hanavi, because the Pasuk says, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyah Hanavi. It doesn't say Eliyahu, it's called Eliyah there. Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyah Hanavi, so that's the Sofei Tevos of Asher Avo El Adoni Seira. That's a remnant to Eliyahu. Eliyahu is going to come to Seir. Okay, or at least at the time of Eliyahu. We have the story with Shechem, which is, he just quotes the Ramban there. I guess I'll say it quickly. They just mentioned the Ramban, that when the Bnei Yaakov talked to Shechem, it was the Bnei Yaakov talking instead of Yaakov, because they wanted to honor their father, that he shouldn't have to talk about such things, because they knew what happened to Dina. And they were all agreed that they should say, that they should have a bris milah. And they hoped that, they doubted they would, and if they would, they would just come and take their daughter. And Shimon and Levi's thing was that they killed everybody. That was the problem, why Yaakov was so upset about that. Okay, after that, we have the death of Rivka, which the Torah doesn't explicitly say. It says, Menekes Rivka died. But what Chazal say is, she wasn't the only one, that Rivka died as well. And why did the Torah not mention her death explicitly? Because there was no one around who could bury her, who could go out and do a proper Levaya, because Yitzchak was blind, he was stuck at home. Esav, nobody wanted him to be there or to be running it, because people would have said, oh, look, this is the mother of Esav. And Yaakov wasn't around, so they buried her at night. They took her out at night. And therefore, since it was done quietly, the Torah doesn't mention it explicitly. And that's why it's called Alon Bachus. Bachus is two bechios, two cryings. Bachus, like multiple cryings. One was for her death, and one was for this whole story that she wasn't. She wasn't properly, you know, she didn't have enough covered when she was buried. He also just brings an interesting machlokas Ramban and Rabbeinu Chananel about this, that his name will not be called Yaakov anymore. Lo yikra oda shimcha Yaakov. So the Ramban learns it means your name will not be called Yaakov anymore, like it sounds like. It'll only be Israel. But Rabbeinu Chananel says that Ode refers to only. Ode doesn't mean anymore, it means only. In other words, Lo yikra shimcha od Yaakov means your name will now not only be Yaakov, it will also be Israel. It's an interesting thing for Rabbeinu Chananel, who is from the Gaonim, and that's what he says the word od means. Okay, one last point about Amalek. So we know that there's a thing, Lo tesayev Adomi, that we're not supposed to completely kick out Esau's descendants. Right, we're supposed to, because we have Hakar Satov to them. And anyway, that's the Pasuk, Lo Tesayev Adomi. And yet, Amalek, it's not like that. Amalek we're supposed to wipe out. So he says, that's because Amalek comes from, like the Pasuk says, Timna Haisa Pilegesh, right? That Timna was married Eliphaz, and from them came Amalek. So something that comes from a Pilegesh is not called your progeny, right? Exactly. If you marry the person, then they're officially your family. If it's not, if it's from a shivcha, it's not quite the same. That's the way it worked. So it wasn't really the Zera Esav. The Zera Esav came from marriages, not from Pilegishes. So that's why the Zera Esav, that's Lo Tesayev Adomi. That we can't, we don't push away that completely. Whereas Amalek, we're supposed to completely wipe out and destroy. Okay, that's it.